Hello and welcome back to episode 6 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. It's been another eventful week of NFL action. Both of our favorite teams lost. I think we're going to start out with listener mail to get James in the mood for today's podcast. This listener mail comes from Nate. It says, "Hi guys, I know this podcast is all about defense, but I'm very concerned about the future of the Redskins franchise. When Robert Griffin III debuted last year, he absolutely lit up the New Orleans Saints, and as I watched Mike Vick struggle to defeat Brandon Whedon, I became convinced that he would keep the Eagles in the NFC East basement for a decade to come. It did not feel good, but it seemed like the way of things, an inevitable reality akin to Winter's arrival in Game of Thrones. Now, 1 year later, the Redskins are a disaster. It might sound premature, but I am ready to call it a season after yesterday's game. The defense, see, talking about defense, surrendered the 25th most passing yards ever. In 2 weeks, they've given up over 1,000 yards of offense. Last year, they gave up less than 6,100 yards in the whole season. The defensive player who helped Washington the most last week was Brandon Merriweather. I'm sure James is happy to hear that. Except that was just because he knocked opposing players and eventually himself out with illegal helmet-to-helmet hits. After all of that, the Washington Post headline reads, Robert Griffin III isn't himself and Redskins quarterback can't put a finger on why. Everyone around DC is saying that Griffin is rusty or off his game while their QB plays with a black shark cage on his right leg. I think he's just not ready to play again. The cult of heroic martyrdom is changing RG3 from Hall of Famer into an item in a biggest draft bust slideshow or a Dan Snyder mistakes article. The Redskins have a brutal schedule, and while I'm sure they'll put together some victories here and there, their game against the Raiders is the only one all year that I'd pick them to win." Which is kind of mean. They'll win two, right? Continuing. "So finally, I'll get to the point. Against my best interest of Eagles contending for the division for years to come, I want to save the Redskins. The solution is simple. Get Griffin as far away from football as possible until next year. It's not without precedent. Ricky Williams failed a marijuana test in 2004 and broke his contract to spend a year studying holistic medicine. Mike Vick, of course, spent 2 years out of the NFL because he was imprisoned for running a dogfighting cartel. Both of those players had their troubles with injuries while playing, but came back to the NFL looking much younger than other players of their age. If Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary is a better place to stay healthy than the NFL, then Griffin should stay off the field and do anything else. As long as he keeps to a rigorous exercise regimen, Griffin could do any number of things. He could build wells for drinking water in Western China. He could get another master's degree, coach an FCS team, start a restaurant chain, invent and market the RG3 workout. If the Redskins care about their own future, they should force him to do this and lock him out of their games. Griffin is not Adrian Peterson, he's not healed completely, and if he keeps playing like this, he's in serious danger of being one of those players who was never really the same." And then he says, "Let's go, hashtag all in for week one of 2014. So thank you for the email. You can email us podcast@allenjackaway.com. James, how are you feeling about your Washington Redskins and Robert Griffin III?
Well, I gotta say that Nate's email hits a lot of points that have been festering in my own thoughts after this week two of the regular season. And now, the Packers are not a team that you would expect to waltz over. They're a good team.
In fact, predicted an Aaron Rodgers explosion, which is what we received.
Exactly what happened, yeah. So, to be to lose to the Packers is not disheartening, I would say. To lose in the fashion that we lost to the Packers was remarkably disheartening.
I thought the defense looked really bad.
They did. They looked really, really bad. And Nate's spot on with Brandon Merriweather, who I think I finally have to give up on at this point. It seems like, I can't believe this, but he didn't seem to have learned anything
from last year. We'll continue.
But yeah, it was just dumbfounding to watch him in the first quarter of that game, as he immediately made his presence felt on the field by concussing Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
You know, just a few minutes into the ballgame. And came as a surprise to no one when he did another stupid flying helmet first leap and knocked himself out of the game. Like, I had predicted that he would be better, that he could stay healthy, but I just don't. He's falling into my category of players who disgrace the idea of football. Just
a growing category as we continue this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, so we shouldn't spend too long on Robert Griffin because he is not a defensive player. But I don't know. Do you think he should sit? Do you think he should play?
There's merit. I mean,
my personal opinion is that if he is at any more risk than he normally would be, so like. Presumably, you know, the Redskins has a medical staff, as do every team, and that medical staff should be able to say that his current knee state and wearing that knee brace will or will not put him at a greater risk for injury than he would normally be at.
Right.
And I think that that should be what informs it, not this idea that you should give up on a season.
Right.
That said, schedule looks really tough.
It does look really tough. I think that it's, my God, the schedule looks ridiculous. It just... Listeners, you can just take a look at the schedule and then laugh at what the Redskins have to deal with for the rest of the season. But I think I agree with you, Alan. I think if there's no... The determination should be made as to whether or not playing this year can cause his injury to become worse than if he waited to play.
I think it should be whether it increases his risk relative to playing in a year, relative to playing last year.
Right, exactly. Right. If it's worse, if it is the case that the medical staff determines that he really does need more time to recover from the injury, right, like that the injury is not healed, or that there's some period of time that needs to be waited to make sure the injury doesn't
recur
sooner than it might, or become chronic or something, then he should sit out. But if it's just the case of this year is going to be tough, the defense looks bad, and it may not be a fun season for the Redskins, but there's no additional risk to RG3, he should probably play it. Everyone needs to know how to cope with an emotionally crushing season like this. And of course...
And the Redskins have no experience with that, so.
None whatsoever, so it'll be a... Oh, wait.
Yeah. Mm. All right, well, we shouldn't speak any more about him just for time purposes. We have reformatted this podcast. We are not going to go through each game individually because that took a lot of time and didn't give us an opportunity to give the analysis that we really wanted to give.
Yeah.
Instead, we're going to have one section where we review players, and then we're going to have another section where we talk about specific matchups from this week that you might want to target for your fantasy team. You can still see our picks against the spread and our over-under picks, as well as our player rankings on alanjackaway.com. You can still email us at podcast@alanjackaway.com. This is also the first episode to be on iTunes. I'm going to say that every episode until one is on iTunes, which will guarantee that when you listen to it on iTunes, I will have said it. So,
that's a good plan.
You know, tell your friends to go get it on iTunes, where you can get it now.
Now.
All right, James, I thought that we would spend this time between week 2 and week 3 talking about some players who are rising and falling in our rankings. I think we're just going to go back and forth here.
Sounds good.
There's a player that certainly has risen in my rankings, though I haven't exactly decided how high, and that player that I wanted to start this off with is DeAndre Levy.
Mm-hmm.
He, in our format anyway, is the 4th best linebacker. He has 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, and 12 tackles on the year, which is pretty spectacular, honestly. DeAndre Levy plays for the Detroit Lions. Are you buying DeAndre Levy?
I'm not, and I'm going to tell you why. And it's the interception production, which is a not insignificant amount of the points that he's put up in fantasy this year.
Certainly.
I think that for a linebacker to continue to put up that kind of interception production is a little bit crazy to ask. Although that being said, if he does it for one more week, I'll be totally on board, because that's ridiculous.
Oh, that's the point when I would really give up. I would say sell at that point. I do think that he will have, the tackle numbers are going to continue. Mm-hmm. He plays alongside Stephen Tulloch, and it seems like both of them, he's, so far doing better than Stephen Tulloch. I'm not prepared to rank him above Stephen Tulloch at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel pretty good about him. Who's someone rising in your rankings, James?
Well, Rising may be, I think, perhaps rightfully where we put him, if I recall correctly. Brian Cushing.
I think, well, you had him higher than I did, but he has been spectacular
right.
this year.
I think, yeah, you cannot buy him fast enough right now. He's just keeps getting better and better. His production has been spectacular. I think that there's no reason to assume that he's going to be anything other than what we've seen so far this year.
Yeah, it's maybe really good to see a player like him a full year removed from his injury, really playing at a high level. It's good to see. And Cushing is someone that I, you know, have had fond feelings for in the past. How do you feel about the Houston Texans defense in general? Did you watch their game this week?
I watched the overtime part of the game. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was watching it because I was really excited that the Titans were still hanging in there. I guess, I don't know. I feel like I expected the Houston's defense to be really good, and it's just been, like, adequate.
Yeah, it seems to me like a team that is having consistency problems.
Yeah.
Because in both of their games, they, like, have let up a bunch of points and then clamped down later in the game. I don't know if it's a thing where they just adjust really well, mm-hmm. and maybe, like, you know, they're coached well, so they adjust well, and it's a thing where they're much better in the second half, or if it's a thing where they're just having consistency problems and some drives are better than others. But there really aren't a lot of players other than J.J. Watt that we strongly recommend playing. I'm sorry, J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing, who we were talking about, that we recommend playing on the Houston Texans. I don't know. Are there any other players on the Houston Texans that you're particularly interested in? I know that down our rankings we had Kareem Jackson in the cornerbacks, but I don't think he's particularly exciting anyone at this point in his career.
Yeah, I think J.J. Watt... this is going to break our bouncing back and forth thing, but J.J. Watt is a player who you should not give up on yet. I know he hasn't scored.
He's back already.
Yeah, exactly. No. This last week proves that even though he didn't score 100 points in week one,
we said that last week. Yeah. He comes back, he's already, you know, he spent the first week he gets like half a point, and after the second week he's the number four defensive end. We don't have to worry about him.
No.
You know, another player that is tied for number four at defensive end, Mario Williams.
Yeah, so...
Mario, now, in defense of this, Mario Williams had 4.5 sacks last week.
Yeah, which is a lot.
It's a huge number. It is not the record.
No.
There have been games where people have had more sacks, but it is a large number of sacks, and I don't know, I think Mario Williams is in... We had a whole bunch of players that were kind of ranked the same at the beginning of the year for defensive end. Are you ready to move Mario Williams into a tier above those players, above the other defensive ends?
I would be willing to take a chance on him. I will say this. I did some of my own little statistical calculations, and Mario Williams has experienced an 1,166% increase in his scoring value in fantasy leagues.
That does happen when you go from 0 sacks to 4.5 in 1 week.
So you've got to expect a little bit of regression from those numbers. At least a little bit. But I do think that... you know, obviously the talent is there. Obviously something's working right in the defense, so he's getting these opportunities. I think that it would be safe to say he is above our average defensive end.
Without stepping on your next pick,
no, go ahead.
Kyle Williams, Mario Williams' line mate, Kyle Williams is defensive tackle number two right now. If my opinion on him is that at the beginning of the year, I said Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius, one of these two guys is going to be really good. I'm ready to throw it down. It's Kyle Williams. And I don't think it's, you know, a fluke. I'm not saying he'll be number two. I still like Geno Smith and Muhammad Wilkerson above him for sure. Probably a couple other players, but I would have him top.
Geno Atkins, but...
Geno Atkins and Muhammad Wilkerson above him. But I would easily and happily put him certainly in the top 10, maybe even up into that top 5 of defensive tackles without seeing anything more from him at this point. I don't know how you feel about it.
I feel like that's good, too. He falls into my consistency calculations. His scoring has been... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only 2 weeks into the season, but his scoring has been consistent, and he's the number two defensive tackle. So that's a good sign. Especially the fact that he scored a whole point more than he did last week.
Yeah, no.
In the same week that Mario Williams got 4 sacks. So, I mean, obviously, he's not fighting with Williams for points. They're both putting up
Yeah,
kind of ridiculous numbers.
A solid, you know, we thought it was going to be a good defensive line coming into the league, and we just weren't quite sure how the fantasy points were going to shake out. But I think that there's been some more clarity after these 2 weeks.
Yes. So, next I would like to talk about, I just want to mention Alec Ogletree, and then perhaps maybe segue into St. Louis defense.
St. Louis defense. I know you watched that, you rewatched that St. Louis game to try to get a good feel for what's going on with the St. Louis defense.
So, I could just start. Let's start with Alec Ogletree.
Sure.
He falls into the consistent range of points production. I think it's 12 points last week and 13 points the week before, or 11 points the week before, or something like that. I mean, super consistent. He is on pace to get 3-digit tackles this season. He's in on every snap. He looks really great when he's reading the defense. He really knows what he's doing. A word about his athleticism. There's a play in the St. Louis Atlanta game last night. It's a fullback. The fullback is blocking for the backup, Rodgers, Jaquizz Rodgers. And the fullback is unblocked. He's leading Rodgers around to the right, and Alec Ogletree is standing in front of him, and he comes screaming towards the line, knocks Jason Snelling out of the way, and tackles Jaquizz Rodgers straight to the ground like there was no one in front of him. Yeah, I mean, he's got the strength and the speed, and he can read the plays. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he is a great, if you had any doubts about him being like a consistent tackle-producing linebacker, he's like exactly the kind of player that you want.
So is he to blame for James Laurinaitis' slip to, it looks like, 65th among linebackers in our scoring system?
Yeah, I feel like, as you know, I'm watching this game, Laurinaitis is obviously, he's running the offense, he is there on a lot of plays, he isn't, you know, he's not the one that's, he's not finishing all of the plays, he's screwing around in the line, he's occupying, you know, one or two offensive players and letting other people get in there. I mean, he's having an impact on the field for the defense. He's just not getting stats. And I think that you may, unfortunately for people who we advise to have him in their fantasy leagues, that may be how it goes kind of this season. Mm-hmm. He is much more of a quarterback for their team than he is the playmaker now, because he no longer has to be. He can, because he's got a fantastic front four. And Alec Ogletree, young, athletic, fast, powerful on his other side, he can be sort of the more, I'm going to orchestrate this defense, the rest of you guys can make these plays.
Yeah, we were pretty surprised when they dropped Jolon Dunbar from this team, but I guess they didn't need him.
I guess not, yeah. They seem to be doing, I know, for those of you that watched the game, yeah, Atlanta scored 31 points, but at the same time, you know, St. Louis's defense looked good.
Atlanta scores 31 points, but there's a broken coverage for Julio Jones's 7, and there's the weird Osi Umenyiura interception touchdown is another 7. I think overall they looked pretty good. So what can you tell me about Chris Long on this team? So at the coming into the year, you may recall, we had Chris Long and Robert Quinn kind of ranked right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, Robert Quinn is destroying Chris Long in terms of fantasy production.
So from watching the game, I don't know. They both look good. Quinn is the one that is finishing on all of the plays. I'm not sure that there's a consistent way to explain that other than just, you know, the ball has bounced more towards Quinn than it has towards Long. I think they both look good. Quinn looks maybe a little bit faster off the line, maybe a little more powerful, but they both are causing a lot of problems for offenses right now.
Gotcha. And there's, you know, synergy between these players.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Long helps Quinn play better and vice versa. But another note about those front four, another reason that Laurinaitis is not racking up the tackles like he did last year, the front four is making a lot of tackles, like a shocking number of tackles for defensive linemen. It's something that we would not have predicted based on our previous experiences in fantasy football.
So you think that we should be legitimately concerned about James Laurinaitis in that case?
Yeah. I mean, yes. For the St. Louis, for the purposes of football and the St. Louis defense, not concerned. For the purposes of fantasy football, very concerned, for James Laurinaitis.
Well, If you don't have any other players, I'll move on to a team that I watched in depth here, which is the Arizona Cardinals. And there is a player who I am very concerned about, and that player is Patrick Peterson. I watched their whole game. I spent a lot of time focusing on Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. Did I get that right this time?
Yes.
Sweet. I'm learning. I spent the whole game watching Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. Patrick Peterson, I had claimed, was going to have a better week than he had had before because Detroit was going to have to throw to Calvin Johnson. And then Detroit only threw to Calvin Johnson on routes that were explicitly developed to move him away from Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. I will say that overall I was impressed with Arizona's cornerbacks. I thought that they looked like well-coached cornerbacks. Like every time, other than this one slant route that Calvin Johnson breaks free on, there were tons of plays where as soon as the receiver makes the catch, they're being tackled by the cornerbacks. The Tyrann Mathieu finishes the game by stopping Nate Burleson short on a 4th-and-4 throw. I mean, just like very good disciplined tackling I saw out of their cornerbacks. And I think that they're a very good pass defending unit, but I do think that teams are going to shy away from throwing at Patrick Peterson, and that is a thing that I'm concerned about. And this week in my rankings, I have moved Tyrann Mathieu above Peterson. Now, if you play in a league that gives you points for return yards or offensive plays, of which Peterson had 2 this week, I would still put Peterson higher, but if you only put defensive points onto defensive players, I have Tyrann Mathieu higher until we see otherwise, because I just think that he's going to be a reliable source of tackles in the interior of the field. I think that he did not force a fumble this week, so
right.
What can you do? But I think that the forced fumble from week 1 is something that will continue, and I just am very concerned about teams throwing away from Patrick Peterson. So yeah. The rest of my watching this game was not that interesting. I think that Carlos Dansby looked okay. He kind of fails to undercut the slant that I was talking about that Calvin Johnson takes for a touchdown. He, you know, I thought actually when I watched the play, I thought he was going to intercept it, but he just, you know, just barely misses it basically. And I think that the rest of that team is really going to look a lot better when Darrell Washington comes back. I just think that, you know, their pass rush isn't bad, but it isn't generating numbers that are like relevant for us to talk about for fantasy. Their inside linebackers, all their linebackers other than Carlos Dansby really aren't scoring enough to warrant consideration at this point. And I think that's just going to continue until Darrell Washington comes back. So I'll try to watch them again once Darrell Washington is in the game and get a good picture for
them. That makes sense. Since the rest of the Arizona linebackers are doing so poorly, do you think there's a good chance Carlos Dansby stays in the lineup?
I do. I believe that he will stay in the lineup when Darrell Washington comes back. I think that they would be foolish to do anything other than that because the other linebackers just don't look that good.
I'm with you. So I know at the beginning of the season, we hyped up Muhammad Wilkerson as one of the top tier defensive tackles that we think you should have grabbed right away. And for the second week in a row, Muhammad Wilkerson is the third highest scoring defensive tackle on the New York Jets, right? Yeah. I think it's about time that we give some credit to Sheldon Richardson, who may not be playing in an elite level of defensive tackle-ness, but he is definitely at the top of the middle tier right now. I haven't watched much of the Jets play, so I don't know exactly what's going on there, but from a statistics standpoint, he is both consistently producing and producing, which is more than you can say for Muhammad Wilkerson.
So does that mean we should be worried about Muhammad Wilkerson? I am not yet prepared to be worried about Muhammad Wilkerson. I really want to give him at least another week or two, probably 2 more weeks before I'm willing to give up on any of the players I had ranked that highly for the season.
I think that's probably the right play. I'm just going to plant the seed of doubt in your mind this week.
All right, well, speaking of players we have the seed of doubt in our mind about, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis, 22nd and 55th among linebackers. So Bowman, I'm willing to say, is going to get it together. 22nd is well within the normal range for variance in terms of we've got some kind of weird linebacker performances that have happened. So I'm not worried about him at this point. I'm a little worried about Patrick Willis. I just think that, you know, he's getting older.
Yeah.
As we've discussed on this podcast, most players do that every year. And I just am worried that he's lost enough of a step that more of his production is going to Navarro Bowman, and that teams are just kind of you know, slipping by him. I think that's part of why Eric Reed is doing well. I think that he's swooping in and taking some of the tackles that Willis would have gotten in previous years. I am legitimately concerned about Patrick Willis. I don't really think there's anything you can do about it from a fantasy perspective. I think at this point you still have to play him. You probably can't trade him.
Yeah.
So you're kind of stuck. But it is something that, you know, if you have one of these guys that we said is rising, if you have, for example, let's see, maybe an Alden Smith, who I think was being drafted well after Willis and is sitting in the top 10 right now, maybe a Gerald Freeman, who is being drafted later and is sitting pretty close to the top 10. I do think that at least for now, I would play that level of player over Patrick Willis. And I think our rankings are going to reflect that on the site. So I don't know, unless you have kind words to say about Patrick Willis.
No, and in fact, I have perhaps even worse than harsh words. I had sort of not noticed him at all this year.
Yeah, it's not. It hasn't been good.
Almost worse than having noticed him do bad things, kind of. It's, you know, because I can't... it's hard to say that there's anything, any one thing that's causing a drop in the production. It's probably just that he's getting old and he's slipping a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I think is happening there. And I think that they have, you know, young playmakers that are taking some of that production, but I don't know. It's definitely something I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
How concerned are you about your Brian Arakpo predictions?
He did
get 10 points last
week. Less concerned than I was in week one, but now I'm beginning to think that my bajillion sacks prediction was probably a little bit over the mark.
Yeah, can't do it against Green Bay is not a great sign.
No,
I know Aaron
Rodgers
is kind of tricky, but...
Right, but at the same time, the Redskins did manage to sack Rodgers four or five times.
And Kerrigan has been playing very well across from Arakpo. Some of this could be a thing where Arakpo is causing sacks for other players.
Right. I don't think that... I will never retract any of my statements about Arakpo being a good football player. Him being of good fantasy value to you, I am willing to begin to walk those statements back a little bit now.
Well, hopefully reason prevailed and you didn't take Arakpo as high as James had suggested.
Yes.
Another player who's running into the situation where sort of the star pass rusher is getting fewer points than the alternate is Cameron Wake, who's held to half a point this week.
Yeah.
This is a game that I rewatched,
mm-hmm.
and it really looked to me like, you know, he had a great week one. And then week two, he has a down week. Every play that he was on the field, there were two players assigned to him. I really think this is a scheme thing. The result is that the other player on the Dolphins, whose name is escaping me right now, but it's Shelby something.
Yeah.
Gets the good fantasy stats for the week. And
Derek Shelby.
This is something... Okay, Derek Shelby. This is something that I think teams will be trying to do. I don't think that every team is going to be as successful as the Colts were this week. I was kind of surprised that the Colts were as successful as they were. But
yeah.
I am not panicking if I'm a Cameron Wake owner. I believe that, you know, even if teams are double-teaming him, he is going to make it work out for your team.
Yeah. And I've just noticed here, if you, you know, I also wouldn't panic about Cameron Wake. He's a very talented football player. He will begin to put up points.
And he did week one.
And he did put up points.
It's just one down
week.
That's what I'm trying to say, I think.
Also, though, Shelby is producing pretty consistently, probably thanks to Wake being on that line.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, so the point is that even when teams are double... So if you're looking for another defensive end, maybe a second-tier defensive end,
yeah,
and Wake's partner
would
be a perfect reason.
I would probably have him ranked... I didn't rank him this week. I would probably have him in that 20 to 30 range among defensive ends. We only rank 20 defensive ends, so...
Yeah.
That's probably where I would put him. Running a little low on time, any other critical people you wanted to talk about? I only have one more I really wanted to get to. I would just like to
briefly talk about Bernard Pollard resurgent.
Yeah, good stats.
Yeah.
I was very skeptical of Bernard Pollard, but he is in my rankings this week. I have moved him up. Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you,
firstly, I believe in the Titans this year. I think
the main thing for me is that the Titans have looked much better than I expected, and the result is that their safeties are going to score more points, way more points than I expected.
Yes.
So
I think if you want a feel-good team to root for this year, you know, watch some of the Titans games. You should be really excited to see them play well.
Would you tell people to remember them?
I would tell people to remember to watch them on television.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. That's pretty close.
and those are points that Pollard put up against Houston's offense, which isn't bad. I mean,
Yeah,
Andre Johnson and Arian Foster and Ben Tate, like, they're all... That's a totally reasonable offense that he's scoring a bajillion points against.
I think that he's, you know, a viable starter in your format at this point.
Yeah. Do you think it Houston could be the team that Pollard decides to slaughter later this season?
Maybe. He gets to play him twice.
Yeah.
He already injured... Well, I guess, you know, one player already got injured in that game, so it's the kind of mojo thing. I don't know. All right, the other two players that I'm a little bit concerned about, Derek Johnson of Kansas City... currently sitting at 61 among linebackers. I think he was certainly ranked top 10 for us.
Yeah.
And then Sean Lee of Dallas, who's... I didn't even write down what linebacker he is, but I did write down that he has 9 tackles.
Yeah, that's not good.
last week we... Let's start with Sean Lee first. Last week we said that once he played a team with a running game, he would do better.
They played a team
Does Kansas City have a running game? Sort of. It is an Andy Reid team. They were passing a lot, but they do have Jamaal Charles.
Yeah.
And there were run plays.
Definitely. Maybe, yeah. So it's quite possible that we're totally wrong about the Cowboys' defense, which, in all honesty, would make me kind of happy.
I'm not willing to say that yet. I mean, they did, you know, they had 7 turnovers in the first game. They hold Kansas City to 17 points.
Right.
I'm not ready to say that, but I am, I don't know, Sean Lee falls into the Patrick Willis, actually both of these players fall into the Patrick Willis category. I still want to start both Sean Lee and Derek Johnson. I can't trade them.
Yep. No.
And I just at this point I'm assuming that they're going to return to their totals, and I'm probably giving them at least 1 or 2 more weeks to do so before I'm, you know, seriously considering whether I can drop them. They are players who, again, if you have one of these guys who's climbed up the rankings really high, you might consider benching for a week or two just to see them get produced, but they're not players that I would drop yet, even though they're scoring incredibly low.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for recap. We will move on to matchups in a moment. We resume this episode with some matchups that will make players better or worse than normal. This is what we're doing instead of going through each game. We're just going to focus on a couple matchups. I think the first one that we're going to do is... I presented this theory last week of start players versus the Eagles because they run a lot of plays. This week, those players would be on the Kansas City Chiefs. I am a little bit concerned about Dontari Poe, just in terms of, I think the Eagles' offensive line is pretty good. Mm-hmm. So Dontari Poe is right now like the number one scoring defensive tackle. I think you can still start him, but he's not... I do not think he's going to do as well as he's done for the last few weeks. The rest of the players, if you have them here, I think that you pretty much want to start them. In particular, safeties, defensive backs, I think are interesting in this lineup.
Yeah.
This is the week. This is the do or die week for me for Eric Berry. Eric Berry, I had ranked pretty high coming into this year. Hasn't really been doing all that well.
No.
And if he doesn't put it together this week against this Eagles team, I'm going to be very concerned about Eric Berry. So. Yeah.
As a corollary, I would suggest that starting Chiefs secondary players this week. I mean, not just Eric Berry, but the rest of the secondary.
Rest of them,
because the Eagles snapped the ball a bajillion times. And you know what? What I actually meant to say was start the Eagles secondary this week. Because
the Eagles secondary have been playing quite well this week, this year in general.
Yeah.
So they have not been playing well in terms of football, but in terms of fantasy, they have been playing quite well. So
yes, I agree.
I do think that if you have any of the cornerbacks that are starting there, that you can start them pretty confidently. Nate Allen and Patrick Chung haven't been doing quite as much. So.
No, I guess not.
So I wouldn't start. Yeah, I mean, they're probably startable in this game, but I don't think I have them ranked in the top 20 when you go out to the rankings. So
also, you may want to watch this game because it's Andy Reid versus the Eagles.
Yeah,
this could be exciting.
Who knows?
Yeah. This week, Rams Cowboys. All right, this will be good. This is not a game that will help you. What I'm about to say will not help you choose what players to start. The outcome of this game will help us choose in later weeks what players to start. Okay, this game should tell us if the Cowboys defense can do, if these linebackers really are. Just suffering from, like, you know, sort of beginning of the season knocking the rust off, or if they really are losing a step.
Yeah, the Rams' attack so far has been very focused on the middle of the field with Tavon Austin and Jared Cook. So the linebackers, Sean Lee should have his opportunities in this game. I think that's a good call. So would you start, would you move Sean Lee up above normal? I guess right now you can't kind of move him up above normal because he's done so poorly.
But I think this is the week. Give your Cowboys linebackers one more chance this week. And if it doesn't work out this week, then cut them all from your roster and never consider the Cowboys ever again.
I had written this game, give Chris Long one more chance to make a sack on Tony Romo.
Also, yes. So, and that's the other thing, I think. Yeah. The Rams, I think actually, I would say start the Rams defense, because Tony Romo is a notoriously easy to cause to make mistakes quarterback, and the front four of the Rams are probably good enough that they're going to cause him to make a lot of...
Yeah, I think if you're on the borderline with, for example, Janoris Jenkins, I would start him. Yeah. I have him up a little higher than normal in this game. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I meant to mention this earlier when we were talking about the
review. Yep.
The review. But also, Courtland Finnegan, if you... We ranked him pretty high at the beginning of the season, I think. Mm-hmm. Don't give up on him yet. This will be the game to figure out whether or not he's still worth keeping. A note from the last game, he was in on way more snaps than you would have thought as a nickel cornerback. So he's also hanging around in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. Kind of, if you weren't paying attention, he looked like a linebacker, but his number wasn't right. So it hasn't happened that he's made a lot of tackles. It doesn't make sense that he hasn't made a lot of tackles.
Yeah, my theory with that, and I did not watch Atlanta, St. Louis, mm-hmm. but without watching any of it, my guess was that he was covering ailing Roddy White, and they just kind of weren't throwing it that way.
It did. There were definitely a couple of plays where he's lined up against Roddy White, a couple of plays where he's lined up against, you know,
Harry Douglas or Jaquizz Rogers or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that in that game, Atlanta threw so well against threw so well to Julio that they didn't really need to target Courtland Finnegan at all.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Monday night game. Let's just jump into that real quick. Denver at Oakland. Yeah. At Oakland? I believe at Oakland.
No, other way around.
Oakland at Denver. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my theory on this game. So last week we said that you should pick up Duke Iheanacho.
Yeah.
He's a little bit hurt right now.
Yeah.
I'm a little down on Duke Iheanacho and all of the defensive backs in this game. Mm-hmm. And I'm up on Wesley Woodyard, newcomer Danny Trevathan.
Yeah.
I think that in general, the Raiders run a lot.
Yes.
I think even when they're trying to throw, they run a lot.
Yeah.
So in general here, I have all the defensive backs lower for this week than normal and all the linebackers higher than normal.
I think that's a totally reasonable prediction.
I really wish Von Miller was playing this
week. Oh my God.
He could just...
Terrell Pryor might die if Von Miller was playing this week.
It's good news for Oakland, honestly.
Yeah.
Bad news for my fantasy team, which is really ailing waiting for Von Miller to return.
Come back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's been rough times. But yeah, I don't know. Did you have any other feelings about this? Do you have any feelings about Oakland at all? Tyvon Branch is hurt.
So
I don't know if he's going to play this game. You'll have to check.
Yeah. Again, I fully expect the Raiders to lose this game spectacularly. And as far as fantasy points for your Raiders defensive players go, I wouldn't count on much this week. I just think that they're... We usually say that bad defenses are good to have in fantasy because they have to make a lot of plays. I think the Oakland defense is so bad it will not be able to make plays.
I also just... There hasn't been a consistent player. I guess Lamar Houston has been okay. I think he's around 20th among defensive ends. So that's probably it in terms of people I can recommend at this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't... And I would just shy away from Raiders defensive players in general.
Yeah.
If you want to watch a stupid game, watch that one this week.
And well, it's Monday night. We've it's the only one on.
Yeah. If you're a contest that would have been spectacular last year and should be kind of ridiculous this year, Texans Ravens, one of the 1 o'clock.
Yeah, two defenses that were really good last year, mm-hmm. or at least pretty good.
Pretty good
last year.
I would say that your Texans front seven players, start them against. Mm-hmm.
But again, that's really only J.J. Watt and Cushing, right?
It is basically just J.J. Watt and Cushing.
And but Cushing, I mean, could have a great game here. I mean,
right, exactly. I think
Ravens
he'll have
attacked the center of the field as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Ray Rice is playing, but that probably is good for you as Texans fantasy starters, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as the Ravens go, look to see... I would say that this is Matt Elam's breakout chance right here, because the Texans... Firstly, it'll be his first real game taking all the snaps at safety. Last week was sort of the
phase in
and phase out of Michael Huff, whatever the hell his name
Michael
was.
Huff, I believe, is correct.
So for you Matt Elam fans, this will be the week. This was his do or die week, basically. I mean, I think if he does well this week, my predictions of taking him earlier in the draft were good, and if he doesn't, I was totally wrong about that.
Yeah. So. We've also been proved pretty wrong about this Arthur Brown thing.
Yeah.
Darryl Smith has been in, like, all the snaps.
Yes.
Arthur Brown is, like, never in.
Right.
So,
Arthur Brown is...
That's not a matchup thing, but... Sorry.
No, but... exactly.
There is a matchup thing that I'd like to talk about in Cleveland.
Can't
and
wait.
That... I just wrote down, Cleveland front seven up, defensive backs down versus Minnesota.
I think,
And the logic here is pretty straightforward. Hunter doesn't throw much.
No.
He doesn't throw well. I guess you could get an interception, but you'd be banking on an interception, basically.
Right.
But at the same time, Parkevis Mingo could... Maybe this is the week.
This
he hasn't really had a standout game yet.
No, he's also been being limited to... His snaps have been limited because of his bruised lung coughing up blood thing.
Yeah, hopefully DeQuell Jackson, this is the week that he rights the ship. He's been okay.
Yeah.
This year he's been scoring consistently... You know,
in like that second tier, bottom of that second tier.
Yeah, probably below, maybe in that third tier of linebackers. It really, you know, I thought that he was kind of the bottom end of the top 10 at linebackers, and I think this is the game where he's going to step it up. So I like DeQuell Jackson here.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't manage to tackle Adrian Peterson a couple times, then I'm going to be concerned about DeQuell Jackson.
Right.
Not that anyone should be blamed for not tackling
Adrian Peterson.
But...
It's hard to do, but at the same time...
But it's his job to do it, and this is the week, I think, where it's going to happen.
I agree. I think the 49ers defense this week against the... at home against the Colts. I think this is going to be your... This will be a good week for your, like, sort of last chance against these kind of... Navarro Bowman should... pick up this week. Mm-hmm. Patrick Willis, if he's got anything left in the tank, should pick up this week. I think if you don't see improvement from those two players against
That's interesting. That's actually a place I think we differ, because I think that the Colts don't run enough to really see what's happening with Willis and Bowman this week.
Hmm.
So...
That...
I don't know.
Who knows?
We have different opinions about that particular game.
Also,
so.
Just a heads up for you Eric Reed owners... Did suffer a concussion in the game last week.
Yeah, it's not clear. You know, concussions, you never know. You just have to see. If he practices Friday, then you're in good shape. Is that a later game? It probably is,
right? It's a 4 o'clock game Sunday.
Yeah, so I think if he doesn't practice on Friday and you don't have some news report saying that he's going to play, I probably am going to sit him and go ahead and play some other safety.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you happen to pick up, maybe then you pick up Duke Iheanacho and you just say, well, I'll play Eric Reed or I'll play Duke Iheanacho in the Monday night game. But you definitely want to be prepared to replace him if he doesn't wind up playing, because I think there's a pretty decent chance. We might also hear on Thursday that he's not going to play and then we won't have to worry about it, I guess. So I don't know. We have different opinions, I think, about that game. We do agree that Indianapolis' defense is bad, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Although,
will say that...
Jarrell Freeman
And Angerer and Mathis are all scoring pretty well.
Yeah.
Angerer didn't score well the first week because he was not playing.
Yes.
But last week he put up a healthy score, and, you know, Mathis is, like, pretty close to top 10 linebacker somehow.
Yeah, he's doing shockingly well.
So I think that those players are startable against San Francisco, right?
I mean, yeah, they're going to... I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to score points somehow.
Yeah. And then the two safeties, too. I mean, I think, you know, San Francisco, to put it lightly, will have an easier time moving the ball against the Colts than they did against the Seahawks. So
I do think that these players
are going to do pretty well.
Yeah.
I think we have time for one more game. Is there one more game you really wanted to talk about?
Start the Redskins secondary against the Lions. They're absolutely terrible, but they will score a bunch of points. D'Angelo Hall is like the fifth ranked cornerback just in points value because he ends up having to make a lot of tackles. Josh Wilson also shows up in like the top 10 of cornerbacks for literally no reason.
Well, they make a lot of tackles. They give up passes, and you know, teams continue, you know, persist drives against them. So there's a lot of plays run against the Redskins. So there's more
and
time.
And the Redskins have a hardy front seven. Yeah, so the easiest way to do anything against them is to throw it at Josh Wilson and D'Angelo Hall. And so far, that's proved really effective for other offenses. So
I think all those Redskins players have actually been scoring pretty well in terms of fantasy. I mean, Perry Riley. London Fletcher's down a little, but not that much. I mean, they're still getting decent production out of him. Yeah, the two cornerbacks are doing well. And
87 years old or whoever the hell old he is. Yeah, I think he's... he may be one of those players. And, you know, the Lions, of course, Matt Stafford loves to throw the ball. So. Yeah. And Reggie Bush may be hurt, so their run game may be lacking.
Yeah, it's true. So there should be a lot of kind of outside passes for them to work on. All right, well, I think that's all the time we have for the matchups section of the podcast. Thank you for listening to The Impenetrable Fortress. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album Giants on iTunes and CD Baby. Our podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Our producer and editor is Sarah Gonzalez. James?
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while we like to highlight good, solid defensive players play.
Yeah.
I believe you have one for us today.
Yes,
from the
I
game
do.
That you watched
from
review.
The game that I watched, yes. So, it's always nice, you know, football, sports in general, should be entertaining. It's always nice when there's an element of theatrics involved in the entertainment. You know, it's always nice to see somebody truly embrace, like, the spirit of professional wrestling and pick a player up off the ground, haul him back into the air, and then shoulder charge him straight into the ground like we're watching WWE Raw or something. And William Moore did that for us.
Yeah, William Moore's the Atlanta Falcons. I'll try to remember to put a note in the episode notes, a link to the video of him doing this, or a gif of him doing
it
this
was,
or something like that.
I saw it happen, and my first thought was, that can't be legal, and my second thought was, that was the best tackle I've ever seen.
It's actually good tackling form. You're not hitting him in the head, you're not really in danger. I guess it endangers their back, but there's padding for that.
Exactly.
So.
No,
anyway.
He did it. He hit him low, he got his feet off the ground, and he drove him into the ground. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. He just looked like The Rock doing it.
Yeah, it was really quite a play. Possibly my favorite play, defensive play of the week. So there you go. Thank you for listening. And once again, you can email us at podcast@alanjackaway.com. From Alan
and James,
stay low.